U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona and Governor Lamont toured Cheshire Correctional Institution today to hear about prison education. Lamont says the state is committed to making sure Connecticut's incarcerated population has access to education so they can re-enter the workforce once they're released.
We just had an amazing meeting about second chance, Pell Grants, what that means. We heard from two gentlemen how the opportunity to get that education while incarcerated changed their lives. What an amazing story they're going to be able to tell.
According to the State Department of Correction, around 2,800 people in Connecticut's prisons engage in education programs each year. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut state income tax returns will play a role in this year's budget talks. The NYPD faces its lowest number of officers in over three decades. Connecticut state workers could see raises soon, and Governor Hochul announced a budget deal in New York. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut lawmakers say this year's budget negotiations will depend on state income tax returns received by yesterday's tax filing deadline. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
State Senate President Martin Looney says Connecticut's income tax receipts will help determine the consensus revenue figures to be used in final budget negotiations with Governor Ned Lamont later this month.
People who have pay generally file close to the deadline as opposed to people who have refunds to get who file a lot earlier. So we won't have the receipts in hand until after people file on April 15th.
He says that means the consensus figures won't be ready until the end of the month. That would leave only 8 days for lawmakers to reach a budget adjustment agreement with the governor before the legislative session ends on May 8th.
There's always a crunch in the even year, and this year it's even worse.
Lawmakers also want to use the state's remaining COVID relief money to close some of the anticipated budget gaps. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York is calling for $24 million in federal funding for child care for the families of police. WSHU's Maya Duclay has more.
The NYPD is facing its lowest number of officers since 1990, with officers leaving the force at record rates. According to data from New York's Independent Budget Office, nearly 3,000 officers resigned or retired last year, while only 2,300 were recruited. Gillibrand says police officers often work overtime and have non-traditional schedules, making childcare arrangements difficult. The plan would set up a pilot program to provide childcare for the children of police and set aside $3 million to open childcare centers. Maya Duclay, WSHU News.
Some Connecticut Democrats say wage hikes for state employees could put too much financial strain on public colleges and universities. WSHU's Sky Crabtree reports this comes as the Appropriations Committee approved the raises last week.
The vote was divided between party lines, with majority Democrats in favor of the increase and Republicans voting against it. But Democrat committee members say the raise could put more stress on the state's public colleges, some of which, they say, have already begun showing signs of financial struggle. While many raises would come out of the state budget, the funds for college workers would likely come from other sources, like tuition or grants. The total cost of the wage increase would be over $120 million. State analysts say that colleges will have to cover about $70 million of that themselves. State colleges have already ordered tuition and fee increases for next fall, and are planning program cuts, according to the Connecticut Mirror. Sky Crabtree, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul announced a budget deal for New York last night, but talks over some of those more controversial measures will continue. More on that is ahead. First, a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthCare.org.
the town of Southold is no longer interested in buying a former U.S. Coast Guard station on Fisher's Island, WSHU's Allison Luna reports.
New York State troopers used the structure as a police station for over a decade. Last year, they vacated the barracks and stopped patrolling the island. Southold Town Police took their place. The town board settled on a bond resolution to spend up to $2.1 million to buy the station earlier this year. But during a town board meeting last week, they decided they're no longer interested in buying the property due to the need for renovations at the barracks. Prior to leaving, the troopers raised concerns such as heating issues when a furnace went out. A New York State trooper commander told the Suffolk Times he still hopes to find something that works and meets the needs of the troopers. Allison Luna, WSHU News.
Animal rights advocates say animal abuse cases are on the rise in Connecticut. There have been 33 cases of abuse and neglect in the state so far this year, according to the animal rights group Desmond's Army. Law enforcement and animal control officers also report seeing more cases, as well as an increase in the level of violence. Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine says the county's 311 non-emergency call center has shorter wait times and other improvements after a reorganization in February. Romaine says he's increased staffing at the center and worked to reduce some of the technical issues that slowed down the wait times. A gathering of 2,000 teenagers at a West Haven beach last night ended with gunfire at a nearby gas station. A passerby was shot and suffered minor injuries. Two police officers were also injured while controlling the crowd at the beach. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced that a tentative $237 billion budget deal has been reached 15 days after the spending plan was due. Karen DeWitt has the details.
Governor Hochul spoke in her ceremonial office at the state capitol, surrounded by top aides and budget staff.
We have the parameters of a conceptual agreement on the fiscal year 2025 state budget.
The state's Democratic legislative leaders did not attend the announcement. They were still going over the details of the tentative accord with their members. A spokesman for Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says there is no agreement yet, but says the governor and legislature are getting close. Hochul says a tentative deal on an affordable housing program will revive and reform a key tax break for real estate developers who include affordable housing units in their projects. It will also allow localities to authorize accessory dwelling units, also known as tiny houses, on homeowners' properties. The plan also offers grants to local governments who agree to build more affordable housing and would spend $500 million to develop new housing on state-owned property. The housing package also includes strengthened tenants' rights, as explained by Hochul's counsel, Liz Fine.
It's a great balance, I think, that we're reaching, both to protect small landlords and protect owners' rights, but also to make sure that we have affordable housing in New York.
The preliminary deal also adds stronger criminal penalties for hate crimes and cracks down on retail theft in illegal cannabis shops. The budget deal increases school spending, and it walks back Hochul's proposal to end what's known as Halt Harmless. That provision guarantees that no school district receives less money than it did the previous year. The governor's plan would have cut funding for half of the school districts in the state. Hochul says the entire school aid formula will be reviewed by SUNY's Rockefeller Institute and changes will be enacted next year.
We can't continue to fund our schools based on politics.
Not everyone is happy with the accord. Tenants' rights groups say the new protections fall short of provisions in the good cause eviction measure advocated by progressive Democrats. In a statement, Housing Justice for All, Sia Weaver, says it would be the weakest in the country. But New York State Republican Party Chair Ed Cox says in a statement that the new tenant protections, as well as the other housing provisions, are doomed to failure. Disability rights groups came to the Capitol to protest changes to the state's consumer-directed care program. It gives over 200,000 New Yorkers with disabilities the tools to hire their own home health care workers to help them with essential daily tasks that they can't do themselves, like eating and bathing. The new budget would eliminate the regionally based centers in New York that help administer the program and replace them with one large out-of-state entity. Denise Figueroa, the executive director of the Independent Living Center of the Hudson Valley, says the news comes as a complete surprise. She says large companies that run the programs in other states have poor track records with long delays on worker paychecks, technical glitches, and lengthy delays in hiring authorization.
If you're depending on a personal assistant to get you in and out of bed or, you know, doing your trach or helping you with catheterization, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're going to end up in a hospital, in an institution, or dead.
Hochul counters that the popular home health care program has grown by 1,200% in the past 8 years. She says the change will save the state $500 million and better track potential abuses.
These can be like runaway trains if you don't have someone step up and say, why is this being done this way? And is it really serving the people it's supposed to serve?
Meanwhile, lawmakers on Monday approved a fifth budget extender to keep the state running for a few more days until they can secure the remaining details and print budget bills that they can vote on. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or stream anytime you like with the WSHU app or on our website, wshu.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And as always, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this podcast with your friends. If you have any thoughts or even story ideas you'd like to share with us, please feel free to reach out. Our email is news@wshu.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.